This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Lock and Key Unlocked, a podcast about Lock and Key on Netflix, as well as the comic books by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete. Comics.
We are going to be talking about Lock
TV.
And Key.
TV.
Comics.
Streaming
movies.
Comics books, are better.
Books. Food. Lock and Key Season 3, Episode 2, Wedding Crashers. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely go do that because we are going to spoil it right now. But broad overview, as you can figure out from the title, two guys don't get invited to a wedding and they find a little love and a lot of laughs. Those two guys.
I watched the movie.
I think you see a different thing. Yeah, it's a different thing.
No.
I watched the movie Wedding Crashers and found a lot of connections between the two.
Yeah. Mom, meatloaf.
Hey, Pete, I will find you, right?
Fisher.
You know what I'm talking about. Nice, you like that quote.
Yeah.
There you go. I haven't watched that movie in years. But anyway, in this one, our Wedding Crashers are actually a bunch of resurrected Revolutionary War soldiers.
Creepy
from the
echoes.
Original. That was the original draft of the movie Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
Changed some of the specifics. And they come to Key House in the middle of Duncan and Brian's wedding in order to find keys for Frederick Gridian. It all goes down, but Tyler is back, kind of stops them with the help of Kinsey, but we get a lot of twists and turns there, as well as the discovery of not only the time shift key, but also the Harlequin chest is, I think, what we're calling it.
Yeah.
This new, well, keyless chest, but presumably there's a Harlequin key out there as well. Lots of stuff goes down in this episode. I really like this a lot, and based on the speculation that we had in the last episode, was so surprised that Tyler came back so quickly, but pleasantly surprised.
It was so nice. I didn't want to go too much longer without him, even though it's a little bit of like a shook version of him that's not really him, but it was nice to see
Pete's
him
a kid
back
now.
For sure.
Pete's one of the youths. He's saying shook. You should check out Pete's TikTok channel. His dances are very bad.
I stand Pete's TikTok.
Yeah, but speaking of dancing, Boney cuts it up. You know, he can get down.
That was great. Middle of the wedding, we just get a shot of, it's not even Boney, it's clearly Jackson Robert Scott just dancing, almost looking directly in the camera the
How
entire
dare
time.
You insult his acting. That is definitely his character dancing.
Right. Okay, Jackson Robert Scott Yeah,
how would the actor dance, Pete? Yeah, what's summer with that kid?
I'm just saying that I'm not going to insult not only his dance move, but also his acting ability.
Well, you went to see Jackson Robert Scott dance Swan Lake at the Metropolitan.
Yeah, completely different. I mean, the guy disappears from his role.
The opera house. Really, it was very confusing. They kicked him out because the Metropolitan is an opera house, not a ballet house. But still, it was very nice while it lasted.
Yeah, it was.
He did have the opera to ballet key, which is huge.
The other thing, while we're talking about people's talents here, I don't know. I have to imagine this was just like knowing she was good at it, but it seems like perfect happenstance. I assume you guys have seen Coda on Apple TV, which stars Amelia Jones, won the Oscar, etc. And that's all about her singing talent. So it was very nice to see her singing in this episode at the wedding. That was rather beautiful and lovely and seemed like a nice turn of fortune there, because I think Coda viewers will see it and be like, oh, yeah, that's where I recognize her from.
All the Coda heads coming through for Season 3, Lock and Key. I feel like we're overlooking a huge cutting loose moment. Hot Josh, really dancing it up.
Stop with that.
Really? Like, you're talking about Boney, like he does.
Regular
some sort of...
Josh was he was a little much. He needed to turn it down a little bit. And, I think everybody recognized
that. Wait, so Boney was doing completely normal dancing, but Hot Josh is out of control?
Yeah, he was way out of control, but finally a slow song came in and he was able to, work a little magic on the floor.
Turn on the charm. Why don't you trust that, Josh? Is it his hotness or his Joshness?
It's both. It's that 1-2 combination where you can't trust
it. It's a deadly
it.
Combination.
you can't trust it.
You either get one or the other. You either get hot or a Josh, but not both things. And Teddy, Josh is listening to this program. I want to be abundantly clear. You're not hot.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. Yeah. You're also a hot Josh or you're a not Josh, and there's nothing.
I don't like how we shifted talking away from Bodhi, because this was, I mean, his speech was money, his whole thing, this whole episode about being the best man, he was killing it. It was nice to see Bodhi being Bodhi and getting the laughs and attention he deserves, because the guy is just...
I have a question about this. I have a question about this wedding speech. Love the whole thing with him being the best man and Duncan being like, all right.
Second in command.
It's like, when you start a bit with someone and they take it too far and you're like, oh no, I guess he is my best man. Whoops.
That was very funny. My main question was at the end of the speech when Bodhi does the aloha with the middle finger.
Right.
And everybody claps and cheers. Did they all watch the first season of Lock and Key? Is that what was going on there?
Yeah.
They had a Netflix login come with the save the date. So everyone caught up on what's been going on. So you know what the wedding's going
to
be about.
I was trying to imagine myself being in the situation at the wedding.
You would clap and laugh. It's an hysterical move.
Where he was like, it's inexplicable if you're at the wedding. You see a little kid being like, aloha, and giving the middle finger to the group.
You'd be like, no matter
what the fuck is he doing? What is going on? Yeah, like, I clearly missed
the best man. The best man and the groom are fighting. What are they mad about? Why is he so tiny? Is he? He's weight. Bodhi's wasted. That's what everybody thought.
Yeah, that's probably was. Other Bodhi stuff. While we're talking about him specifically, I mean, this is a little off it, but while we were talking about the dancing, I did want to bring up. It's such a little moment, but having JB and Rufus meet on the dance floor.
Oh yeah,
and be like, nice. We're both Bodhi's friends. We've never met before. Hello. It was nice throwing in that moment. Very sweet.
It really was.
But we did have big stuff with Bodhi. We should talk about the time shift key here.
Holding hands.
Traveling
through time, holding hands. I mean, that's big moves.
You're jumping to the end of it. So we get the introduction of the time shift key here. And like we speculated about way back on the season 3 trailer podcast, the time shift key works very differently in the show than it does in the comic books. In the comic books, it's kind of actually, how did you describe it? Not as a ghost situation, but
it's sort of like you're inside of a movie watching what's happening. And here, the time shift key, it seems like you can interact with people, and I don't know if you're in danger of being hurt by them, but you don't affect the timeline, it feels like. The people can sort of break out of the scenes they're in, the moments they're in, but it seems like you're not actually changing time at all, which is very curious to me.
I'm very excited about the idea of them being able to kind of go back, and especially it was like seconds away from having a dad reunion, which would have been super emotional.
I loved how this was executed. It was certainly surprising to me as a fan of the comic books, how it all worked out and how it was different. As we've seen in the trailer and everything, it seems like it's only going to get worse as they continue to use this key. What were you going to say, Justin?
I was going to say, if we're sort of extrapolating from the trailer, it's hard to remember, but when we recorded the trailer podcast a while back, it feels like
going all the way back to the trailer podcast.
I'm using my own time shift key to look back on when we did that.
Sure.
But it does seem like maybe Dodge is going to come through the time shift key to the present. Does that mean, and we get a little bit of a clue here with Duncan saying it's too unpredictable. Is there a possibility Rendell might come through or any of the younger versions of the original keeper of the keys?
Yeah. How would you not want to go back and kind of do that? I mean,
I wonder. I mean, I think we've gone back to Rendell enough that certainly we could see him again and have the kids see him again. Maybe that's a way where Nina finally gets closure or something like that and finally is able to move on with Hot Josh, potentially.
Stop it.
He was great this episode. I'm sorry. I know we're jumping all over the place, but he was absolutely delightful.
And he showed some hot vulnerability because Hot Josh was hot nervous for a time here, Pete. And isn't that worth...
I like nervous Josh. I like respectable nervous Josh, but I don't like cocky hot Josh peacocking on the dance floor for everybody to see. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think. Wow, you have a different understanding.
Turn
you have
it down,
a different understanding of peacocking. Peacocking sounds like something very normal to you. Describe a peacock. Is it just like a regular bird to you?
You know,
why don't we get into the specific time periods they go to? Because I think there's more than enough to talk about in both the jaunts to the past. So Jamie does figure out a bunch of stuff between them. But first we go back to, oh gosh, I'm blanking on their names. I wrote them down. It is
two names. It's
God, I'm not familiar fast enough. It is not Gideon. Oh, Benjamin Locke and Miranda Locke. Oh, and they're setting up the Harlequin chest. So I think that was a very clear, like, here's how the time shift key works, or at least partially how it works. And then also setting up the Harlequin quest so they can use that as a new place to put the keys now that Gideon and his men find out about
That's the thing about when you have like a diary or a journal, like, you know what I mean? When someone else reads it and gets all your evil plans, you know, I mean, that's really tough that you wrote it all down for somebody to just come snooping along.
Pete seems to be recap shifting into a whole nother part of the show, but I feel like the Harlequin key and the Harlequin chest, while it does seem like an obvious great place to keep the keys, I think something else is going to end up in there. It'd be my prediction. They've spent a lot of time.
Like what?
Like a person. I think you could hide a person in there. You could trap a person in there. We've got a couple. We got the Wheeler sisters coming up with their own gin recipe in the mirror world right now. I bet we'll trap someone else in the Harlequin chest as well.
The more interesting one, though, was the second time travel thing like we've been talking about. We meet teen Duncan there.
80s Duncan.
No. That is very clearly, I think it's 2009 Duncan, something like that, because they go back to real McCoy times. Another Night is playing right at the top there. And that is one of my favorite time travel tropes, is the person travels back in time, and you get such a specific song playing at the start of the scene through the radio, where they're like, it's 2009 and we're playing Real McCoy's Another Night right now, just so you know, FYI, for whoever's listening. All right, moving on with the scene. So.
Another night, another dream, and always you. I feel like that's a song that was played a lot and then never again.
Yeah. I play it. Oh, it's 1994. I'm sorry, I was way off on that. 1994. I just
Wow.
Sorry, everybody. In any case, that was great. Duncan. But we also find out that Duncan doesn't remember it when it happens. Yeah. So the time shift key seems to create some sort of time bubble or time pocket or something like that. Going to be very interesting to find out the rules there. Why don't we jump over to Captain Frederick Gideon, because we get to see him in effect here. Do you like any characters on this show, Pete?
Yeah.
I love Bodhi. Right. Just Bodhi. Yep. Yeah. I guess. I said this before, but like, man, Gideon looks like dog shit. I love they have this villain. He needs to turn on the hygiene key, because sleeping in this tent. And I love that he's got the other he calls the pup tent. He calls Bolton and Coffee, and they're all pitching their own tents. And I'm like, guys, get out in the world, get a house. So you could just break into someone's house.
Dude, are you kidding me?
They don't seem to mind killing people.
It's so expensive to get a house right now. What are you talking about, man? It's not like you can't just show up.
I'm not saying go to a bank and get a mortgage and purchase a home. I'm saying for the sake of it, go sleep somewhere.
You just want them to. You want these bad guys to go break into somebody's house and then murder the people inside and then stay in their home? Is that what you want?
I mean, for the sake of the show, I just think they need a shower. They don't even know what a shower is. It's going to blow their minds.
Yeah. Pete, what if they broke into Hot Josh's house and killed Hot Josh and then stole his house? Would you be okay with that?
Well, I mean, I'd be worried about Jamie. You know what I mean? But otherwise, yeah.
They adopt Jamie, and it's a whole three men and a baby situation. Three men and a little lady, excuse me.
Sorry. Nice. Oh, yeah, that's good. Quality stuff.
Yeah,
three red coats and a little lady. References. That's fun. Yeah. That's fun. She could get her independence from them.
I do like the mythology setup, or I guess reminder that we're getting here in this episode, in terms of the difference between Frederick Gideon is an echo with a demon inside of him. The two others are just echoes and are taken out of the well house that way. So they can't be hurt, but Frederick Gideon has a little something extra.
That was fun. You know, like, stab him. No. Stab him. It'll be cool. Mm-hmm. I command you. All right. Now it's getting weird, but you better stab him.
It was less fun when Alex did that to you and I, Pete, because it hurt so much.
So we're liking
one of our
him.
Podcast getaways.
I think we're liking him as a villain so far. He's pretty good.
Yes.
We also got the name of the two other guys are James Bolton and Samuel Coffee. They seem very specific about that. So I assume those names will come up again at some point later. And by the end of the episode, They know about a bunch more keys thanks to Bodhi's notebook, but they're only in possession of the plant key, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, they steal it off.
Well, the everywhere key. They have the Echo key,
but I'm saying in terms of stealing stuff, they only get the plant key at this point, which is really only good for wedding setups, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, the wedding key.
How did you do this? Well, we just threw it together. It was super simple to grow this.
It is very interesting. This is jumping topics, but it is very interesting seeing who knows about the keys now and how they're talking around somebody who doesn't know about the keys, because it feels like in every scene, there's always one person who doesn't. So like that scene, I think it's Brian is the only one who doesn't actually know. So they're like, we don't know how I put it together. And then there's long looks from everybody where they're like, a week.
Right? Why do you guys just look at each other?
They basically said wink to each other in that moment.
Well, and same thing with Tyler with the Hercules belt on. He was just like, it's cool style. And they just looked at each other and then had to slowly move on. It's heartbreak.
Well, he's out of the game. And I feel like they're like, remember, this is our thing. And then it's like when we had that fourth host on this podcast and he grew out of it.
I don't remember that.
Ooh, yeah. Weird. Well, you wouldn't remember because he aged out.
Actually, he got married at a Dunkin' Donuts and then had a child. You don't remember it?
Oh, Uncle Dunkin. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Let's talk about Tyler since we just touched on that. That's another big emotional plot line of the episode. As he does come back, as we mentioned, he doesn't remember anything. But over the course of the episode, everybody kind of tries to get him to remember the keys and agree to use the memory key. It's a very interesting line, I think, they're walking with Tyler in particular, because they really set up that, like, not to be blunt about it, but like using the memory key without somebody's permission is a form of assault that you're doing on them. So they're skirting up against that line. There's that scene where Kinsey notices, Tyler's drunk, so he remembers, and she's like, drink more stuff.
Please give me the okay. And he's like, no.
I'm glad they stopped that, and I didn't expect them necessarily to go farther, but like, that was a little uncomfortable. Like, maybe a little uncomfortable. You felt the same way, Pete?
Yeah, it's because this thing of like, I want, and Kinsey wants him to be in the know and to be on the good side because they need more people to fight this Echo army that maybe is coming. So it's this thing of like, we want him to be on the team because he was such a huge part of it last time around, but he is really shook about his ex and all the things he had to do. So he's not really ready to come back. So it is it's a tough line to kind of walk because they could use the help.
You get to see him sort of experience all of the emotions. Like, he's out on it. Then he, after a couple of drinks, he's in on it. Yeah, and he wants to be in on it. And then he thinks of Jackie, and then he's fully out again. And we get to see Kinsey see all that as well. And I think just seeing them all working together so hard and trying to take care of each other, despite the fact that taking care of Tyler means not having him with them, a necessary part. But even a larger point on that, like, it feels like Duncan's a little bit out too. You know, obviously he's getting married, but he, while still remembering the keys, seems to be maturing out of just the lock business in general. Yeah. He's like, he's maybe a source of information, but I don't think he's going to be involved in the action, replaced by Nina. Nina, it feels like she is sort of just heavily part of the action.
Just to kind of back it up a little bit, I think it's one of those things where it's rooting for Tyler to kind of like want to be back in it, but he is going through the classic thing of like, you know, you break up with somebody and then you open up a book and their picture falls out and hits you in the face. I mean, that's just rough reminders. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
It's bad enough when you have to get the flashbacks and stuff, but then you get the book next to the, as you wake up and you get that slap in the face. I mean, come on, man, the poor guy can't catch a break.
Yeah, and particularly Sanditon, which is not finished. That's an unfinished book. So that's a second slap in the face right there. What joke were you going to make, Justin?
I was going to put in, and you know, we could just focus test each of these and just edit one in. I was going to say the rest of the afternoon, I'm putting pictures of my exes in all my books. So it's going to take up a huge chunk of time.
I like yours more. Let's go with yours. All right, I'll edit out my part of that. Sanditon.
Leave them in.
Yeah, there was something else that I was going to bring. Oh, I was going to ask about, and this is a legitimate question. Like, it sounds like a joke question, but a legitimate question. At the end of the wedding, Duncan and Brian get in a car with cans, and they drive off for their honeymoon. Right. Do people actually do that anymore?
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's really fun because you write on their car, like the just married, and you attach the cans and stuff. Then everybody gathers and you throw rice and you say goodbye and they wave goodbye and they drive off.
And you grew up in 1789, right, Pete?
Yeah, roundabouts. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Roundabouts, he says.
More of the 80s.
I just, yeah, I've been to a couple of weddings and I've never seen that. It always seems like they're at the wedding, and then at the end of the wedding, they're like, well, good night, everybody, and then they go home, and maybe they go to a honeymoon the next day or something like that, but I've never been at the car can type wedding.
The car can. Yeah. I got a car can wedding coming up. Also, the rice, it feels like we can throw other stuff.
Well, they do bubbles. You can blow bubbles at them and stuff. Oh, that's really nice.
That's nice. You know. Oh, and Pete, clearly a side moonlighting as a wedding planner, it sounds like. The way you talk about this not stuff, like you're really in command of the material.
But well, very sweet wedding with Duncan and Brian. My God, I thought that was nice. Do you think, is that it for them for the season and because of that, the show?
What? I bet we'll see more of them. I mean,
I hope so. Yeah.
If we're following the track of the comics, they are definitely brought back, and sort of revenge is attempted to be visited on them. So maybe we'll get something like that, even though they're a bit separate.
I really enjoyed Uncle Dunk's bit of the famous Josh. I never got tired of that. That was fun.
So do you like it better if we refer to him as Famous Josh instead of Hot Josh?
Yeah, any other kind of Josh would be great.
Okay. Why? Because is it you don't think he's hot, or he's too hot for you to talk about?
It's too hot to trust. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what his angle is, and I just don't buy it yet. You know what I mean?
Are these 10 celebrities too hot to trust? TMZ explores Pete LePage's landmark topic next.
Hey, there you go. 101 hot dudes to date before you die.
Oh my God. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is TMZ, and we just don't want these celebrities to break our hearts again.
Exactly.
That's TMZ, always leading with their hearts on their sleeves.
They do.
What else can we talk about in this episode? There's a cheese hat from Wisconsin. That was a fun little bit. Bodie gets the cheese hat, and then later on, Gideon squeezes the cheese hat.
Gideon does the squeeze. People love squeezing cheese. You know what I mean?
He's picking it up like, wow, look at this great mound of cheese I'm about to eat. And then he's just totally disappointed, which I get.
Yeah.
Imagine how hungry you are if you live in a tent. Sad squeeze.
Go ahead, Justin. We're going to call
it. I was going to jump back to Tyler real quick, because I do think, so he's been building these houses. He seems to be not dealing with any...
And working... construction stuff. With hot people, because that's how it definitely happens in real life.
Again, in my construction experience, it's exactly like that. Dates every night with other people you're working with. Everyone's happy as hell and kissing on the job site. You do kiss breaks. 9 o'clock is your kiss break.
Union mandated, right?
Exactly. It keeps, you know, it works for unity, unless you're kissing different people, which is problematic. I feel like the fact that so far this season, Tyler's all about not dealing with the problems and the tragedies he encountered last season, and his family sort of supporting that choice. I'm curious to see if he's going to be the one that sort of faces that reckoning and is like, you know what, I have to finish mourning Jackie and find a way to move on to protect my family and just move forward in general, because I feel like he's like legitimately lost here.
Yeah,
and needs some help coming up.
I don't know if you can remember back to the trailer episode where we talked about all the different things we saw, but Tyler was in a bunch. So, you know, him kind of being on the sidelines and not sure. I mean, that's temporary past. Like, he gets in there. So I'm looking forward to how they're going to kind of make that move.
I mean, at this point, I would guess next episode is the episode where we're going to get Tyler making a decision there and getting his memory back. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an 8-episode season. I don't know how much longer they can drag it out with him being like, I don't know, and then bouncing around him while everybody else is doing other stuff. So, but we'll see, I guess. Yeah. I love the action sequences. I thought Kinsey coming in with the chain key and the master lock was sweet. Yeah. Very cool.
Interesting, that seems to be the weapon of choice for all the lock kids. They always seem to be carrying that. I guess it's very portable. But to me, it seemed a little clunky.
What are you talking about? You got chains or just boom, chains? What you know what I mean? Like with the Hercules, now you got to go get with your hands. With the chains, you can keep the bad guys away. It's a smarter
move. By the way,
move.
If you're just listening to the podcast, Pete just acted like a Rock'em Sock'em robot. That's the movement that he just did. It was pretty great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Your dad was a Rock'em Sock'em, right?
Yeah, one of the original Rock'em Sock'em. Yeah, you're damn right.
They and married my mom a was human on woman. Rainbow,
so, you know.
Beautiful.
The
beautiful
best of romance. Both worlds. Absolutely. Yeah.
The two. There are two types of people in the world. Hungry hungries and...
my love, Rock'em I have Sock'em. Caught you in a mousetrap of my own feelings. You wow, have a monopoly on my heart.
We are really dating ourselves.
Yes. Board games? I think it's all right. I think we're going to be just fine. Any other moments from the episode that you guys want to call
out? Yeah, I can't believe you guys don't want to talk more about the Jamie Bodhi hand-holding as they travel through time together. I thought that was such a adorable.
Are you shipping
little...
these two children? Is that what's going on, Pete?
No, but I think it's an adorable team. And I think when it comes to fighting bad guys, they're both very smart. You know, and I like the way that they're kind of looking at stuff and processing things. I think they're a badass team, and I'm glad they're on the good side.
I mean, now that Rufus is back in town. Oh, yeah. Now that Rufus is back in town, I want to see them as a trio. Like, I want to see all three of them together. Exactly. That would be fun.
Can we shift into the future, maybe? Maybe see if they are a couple in the future. Think about that.
Oh, wow.
Potentially. I mean, getting back to the comics again, the way that it works is – it goes back to the forging of the clock from the time shift key to the present. So you can't go to the future.
Can't go forward.
We've already changed the rules. So entirely possible that it could work in a different way there. And I think there's something to be said. This is getting into crazy speculation, but ending the series by using the time shift key to show whatever happens in the future, everybody happy and settled and some sort of montage.
That's
there.
A great call.
Might
I love
be a
that.
Great way of ending it. We'll see.
A couple other things I wanted to mention. See the Wheeler sisters gin. This show seems committed to showing us beverages and soups. Which I am here for. That's what I consider a good lunch. Yep. A little bit of gin and a great chowder.
Mm-hmm. I think we mentioned this on the podcast before, but I like to combine them into a nice gin chowder.
Love a gin chowder.
Yeah, that's too much. When you go to a bar and they pass it over the bar, you get like that. The clams floating in the gin. You feel home, you know? You feel
home. Yeah. That is too much, bro.
I usually make gin chowder, my friend. I have a gin chowder after I've had a night out at the bar when I get home.
That's the best way of ending the night. You know what? And this is a little tip if you're ever ordering a gin chowder at the bar. I always say, hey, make it creamy.
Yeah. Where's Justin? Now he's in the bathroom making a batch of gin chowder in the toilet.
Oh my god, we've gone too far.
Justin, is that gross? Oh, that's gross. Alex,
remember earlier in the podcast, you're like, hey, you know when someone takes a bit too far? Yeah, there we go. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, I meant me. I meant me when I said that.
Well, you didn't have to then prove it later.
Yeah. By the way, to be clear, we're talking about a New England gin chowder, not a Manhattan gin chowder.
Which
is red and chunky. Hey, you want it red and chunky or white and creamy?
That's when you have Manhattan gin chowder, that's where you need to go to the doctor. I also wanted to talk about a slight gear shift into we get to see – I think we're definitely going to get to see the Tempest from the past. Gordy shows up again in this episode.
You're going to mention that every episode. What happens? I was thinking about this.
I'm willing it into being.
What is the scenario if we get to episode 8 and they're like, well, that's a wrap on Lock and Key, and Bodhi does a sweet dance moves in the camera, and they the credits roll, and there's no Tempest. Are you going to be bummed?
Yeah, I'm going to be a little
tempest.
No, I'm
because
have
as
a little
we
tempest
saw
in
the trailer, there was more Tempest stuff in it. So we're going to
I got to go rewatch that. It's been a while since I've checked it. I'm going to spin it back up and see if I remember the Tempest stuff.
Anything else you guys want to call out, Pete?
Yeah, we didn't see Bodie's car. I mean, what the fuck? How did he get there, assholes? I mean, we can't show Bodie
Tyler's car.
Tyler's car. We can't have him, drive up to the house. Like, what happened?
Bodie's car is like one of those little deluxe Hot Wheels things that he drives around and going beep beep.
Sweet. What are those called? Like Tiny Tots or something?
I don't remember. I completely blanked on the name right now. It's not Hot Wheels, and it's not Matchbox.
It's...
What are you talking about, big wheels?
We can do a tight five on Jin Chowders, but can't remember a very basic toy that everybody knows of. So there you go. But good episode, I'd say.
Great app.
Continue to be very excited.
Dancing, you had love. You know what I mean? Like, I was a little disappointed that when Nina took off the flower key and just kind of casually said it there, I was like, oh, that's a horrible idea.
On the other hand, though, I loved Nina's expression when she sees the time shift key and is like, ooh, new key. We were mentioning this in the last episode, but there really is this childlike glee that Darby Stanchfield has this season that is very fun to see.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree. It's really...
As Medium Josh says, it's nice to see her happy.
Yes. Before we wrap up here, why don't we talk about the key moment of the episode? Justin, what was your key moment of the episode?
I think it's Duncan talking about the time shift key. Like, he has knowledge of it. He sets up a little bit like, oof, that we can't deal with that. It's too big. It's too much. It's a problem. He knows the rules. And that's why we were talking about if he's going to be sidelined for the rest of the season. I think he will at least be sort of the guru for the time shift key, perhaps next episode or whenever they next get into that. Power Wheels is the name of the toy.
Power Wheels.
That's what it is. There we go. Oh, Pete, man. What about you? What's your key moment of the episode?
I'm going to have to say, I'm going to have to say Tyler showing up, and being back, with the home team is the key moment. Now that he's here, hopefully they can get him to drop his baggage and, get on board so we can start fighting some creepy bad guys that are slowly starting to win.
Yeah, this is a related one, but other than the time shift key, of course, and how important clearly it's going to be for the season, I'd almost say that moment with the Sanditon and the picture of Jackie, because they're clearly not letting her memory go. They're continuing with it. So at the very least for Tyler, that's going to be an important thing going forward in terms of his emotional arc is how does he get past this? How does he emotionally grow? This is such a rough thing for him. And I appreciate from that perspective that they're not letting it go, that they're doubling down on it, in fact. And if you would like to talk Lock and Key, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. You can follow the show on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice at at Lock and Key Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, keep it locked right here.
Let's get chowdered, guys. It's Friday.
I'll take my creepy.
Oh, stop, man. You had to ruin it.